The question was asked, is one permitted to offer one's relative instead of oneself being killed? So firstly, we have a Mishnah in the end of Tractate Truma. The Mishnah says that if you have a band of people traveling and a group of gangsters come and they're ready to kill the whole band, and they say, give us one of yours, we'll kill him and we'll let the rest of you live, you're not allowed to give them one person. Same thing if the gangsters come and surround the caravan and they say, give us one of your girls or we'll violate all of them. You're not allowed to give them one of the girls. We fight to the finish. Then the Mishnah says, what happens if they tell us, we want Jack, we want Jack, we'll kill Jack, otherwise we'll kill all of you. It's not that they asked us to give someone over, but rather they said, we want that person. We came here because we're after Jack. Give us Jack, we won't kill the rest of you. If you don't give us Jack, we'll kill everyone. So wait. So then it says you're allowed to give over Jack. What happens if the group surrounds the caravan and says, we want that girl, otherwise we'll violate all the women? So when they singled out the girl that they want, then it's different. Slowly, wait, let's see. The Medrash Rabbah quotes a story. I think it was Rabbi Yoshua. I don't remember clearly if it was Rabbi Yoshua or someone else. That he was in a town, and the Romans surrounded the town, and they said, you have a fugitive in your midst. We want so-and-so the Jew, and if you don't give him, we will kill the whole town. And they knew they would do it. The Romans were famous that they would do it. So Rabbi Yoshua went, and he knew that this guy was actually found guilty by a Roman court, and the guy actually had done things that he deserved the death penalty by the Roman court, and he went and gave over this Jew to the Romans, and they executed him. Slowly. So it says that Elio used to visit him. Elio used to come learning with him. And once he did that, Elio stopped coming. So for a long time he prayed, and finally Elio came back. And then he asked Elio, why didn't you come? So Elio said, you gave over a Jew to the Romans to be killed. So he said, it's a Mishnah. I did what was right. That's what the Halacha says. And Elio said, right, but it's not a Mishnah for the pious. Just because there are scenarios where it's permissible doesn't mean that it's the pious way to go. We have a discussion in Talmud, Tractate Sanhedrin. What happens if you're traveling, you and someone else, and there's one flask of water to be drank? You're in the middle of the desert, and if you go half-half on that flask of water, you'll both die. But if one of you drinks the whole thing, then he will make it out of the desert. Are you supposed to give him half? Are you supposed to say, I can't watch him die? You can't imagine anyone's coming. You have no reason to assume anyone's going to show up. You have your flask of water. So here we have to see the fine points of halacha. It's a discussion, it's a machlokas in the Talmud. One opinion says, you cannot see your friend die. Go half-half, and as far as you make it, you make it. Rabbi Akiva says, and that's how we rule in the end, that if you have a flask of water, and you won't live if you give away half that flask, you keep your flask of water. And you drink it, and you make it out of the desert alive. I'm very sorry, buddy, you know, I wish I could give you half. But if it's your life or his, you have to protect your life. You don't say, well, how could I watch him die? You say, I don't have a choice. It's not me who's killing him. So that's a key point. It's not me who's killing him. There were times here in Israel where they didn't have enough vaccines. And there were diseases going around. And it was pretty clear in the hospital that those children that got vaccines would live and the other ones most likely would die. And there were questions, how do you decide who will get the vaccine and who won't? And parents tried to make different halachic arguments as well. So what Rabbi Feinstein is reputed as having said was, when the hospital called him, he said, you take the vaccine out of the closet, and you take the box of vaccines, and every baby you encounter as you walk down the aisle, you give them the vaccine. Because you're not allowed to pass one baby to vaccinate the next baby. The first baby you can save, you save. He said, that's how you work it. The second you get the vaccines from that point, you vaccinate every baby, the closest baby you have. And as you walk down the aisle, whoever was closest to you, that's who gets it. You can't decide this baby should live and that baby shouldn't. That's what's reported. I don't know that it's written in any of the responsa, but that's what is quoted in his name. What?
It's not the kind of thing you can write in a responsa.
Okay. So now let's go back to the question. There's a difference between a person giving someone else over and a person saying, you know, they want him. Why do I have to die if all they want is him? Why do I have to fight for him, especially if by the courts he is culpable? Or if what's going to happen to him is less severe than what would happen to me. Let's take Avraham Avinu's dilemma, which was what you began with. Avraham Avinu knows that it's possible that the Egyptians will murder him if he stands in their way. On the other hand, as uncomfortable and as improper, and the Torah even equates it with murder, but if Pharaoh were to violate Sarah, then technically Pharaoh deserves the death penalty, but Sarah has done nothing wrong. She is innocent. She has suffered. It is a terrible thing. The Torah equates it with being murdered. But nonetheless, there's a difference between dying and not dying. Avraham Avinu doesn't come and say, take her. Avraham Avinu simply says, she is my sister. Now, if he's right and the Egyptians are ready to kill him and take her, then they might take her forcibly, which is what they do. They don't ask her. They don't ask him. They come in with their Gestapo and take Sarah into the palace. So what would have happened had Avraham said, she's my wife? They would have killed him and then taken Sarah. What would he have accomplished? Only that he would die. You know, she'd be violated anyways.
I don't see the difference of marrying somebody away early so they won't violate the woman, because if she's married, she can also be violated.
Slowly, slowly, you're going to another question. Let's finish this one, then we'll go there. When it comes to Lot, you asked how come Lot offered his daughters. So one understanding among the commentaries is that Lot was so respected. He was their judge. It was obvious to him they would not do it. When he said, take my daughters, but don't hurt them, it was because he knew they wouldn't take his daughters. So he said, I have two virgin daughters at home. You can take them, but don't harm these people. So obviously the people said, we're not taking your daughters. It was obvious they weren't going to. Some of the commentaries explain that that's what Lot was saying. And with the story of the concubine, so I don't know the answer to that. I don't know why what he did was legitimate. When the concubine on the hilltop, when he pushed her out and she was violated to death, I don't know why that was considered okay, why that was kosher for him to do. Obviously what they did deserved the death penalty, which they got. But why was he allowed to do it? I don't know. the commentaries say different things, which I don't understand. So I don't know what the answer to that one is. Okay, so on this point, are we done? I would add another point, which is actually discussed in Talmud. the Talmud does discuss the question of does the person have to be deserving of the death penalty. I gave an example with the Romans where he did deserve the death penalty. That's a machlokas in Talmud. Meaning, what would happen if they were all innocent Jews and they'd say, we want Jack. And Jack didn't do anything wrong. But they want to kill Jack. Are the rest of them supposed to give up their lives fighting for Jack when they know they're outnumbered, they know they're all going to die? If Jack did nothing wrong and none of them did anything wrong, what do we say then? That's a machlokas in Talmud.
Now,
correct. You're right. You're 100% right. Now the could be, but the question is, what's your alternative? If you know that they can win you, obviously, if you think you can put up a fight and win, so put up a fight and win. This question also does not cover another question, which the Talmud says actually happened in Jewish history. The Romans came to a town and they said, we're going to kill all of you because the Romans emperor, the emperor's daughter was killed. So they said, we didn't do it. They said, we don't care. It was next to your town. We're killing everyone in town. So Pappus and Lilianus were two pious Jews. They walked to the Romans and said, we did it. So the Romans took them to jail and they tortured them to death. So the Talmud says they merited a tremendous portion in the world to come because they volunteered themselves to be killed. They did not do it. Everyone knew they did not do it. But they said, if the choice is everyone die or us to die, better we die and everyone else gets saved. So our discussion did not encompass the question of, can a person voluntarily submit himself in order to save the rest of the town? That's another question. Now you understand that all of this pertains to the question of donating an organ, right? Can you donate a liver? Can you donate a kidney? Can you donate... That question, to some degree, is also derived. The answer to that question is derived from this question, to some degree. Okay.